You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
I want to see that wrinkly old man submerged in water. It sounds like a drag name a little bit.
That's Tarkin's drag name.
Yeah. Oh.
What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Star Wars Explained Weekly Q&A. I'm Alex.
I'm Molly.
And we're doing this on Sunday this week because Saturday is just full of stuff.
Yeah, well, there's enough.
We're still filming it on Thursday, but...
Enough going on May 4th. Especially for the canon timeline being out.
Yeah, I mean, we always put the canon timeline out on May 4th. It came out yesterday. If you haven't seen it, please go watch it because we worked really hard on it. But also Tales of the Empire came out. And so we were like, let's just have the Q&A come out on Sunday instead of its normal Saturday. We are going to be talking all about the Bad Batch as far as questions go. But first, we were going to do a little weekend catch up like we have been doing in the past.
Quickly, though, about the timeline... If you don't feel like watching it, that's fine too. Just have it playing for, how long is it? An hour and a half?
It's long. It's like an hour and 50 minutes almost.
Just bring it up in a browser, have it playing, give it a like, just like let it go.
Just that let one. It go.
Just let it go. You can mute it, you know, just give it a view.
I wouldn't want to listen to me for 2 hours.
That would be great.
But before we get into questions, something cool and fun happened last weekend. We were out and about in Atlanta. We went to a brewery called Wild Heaven that we go to quite often, but they were doing like a high school band showcase.
Mm-hmm. I was like, I wanted to go because I was like, who knows, the next like Taylor Swift could be performing. That would be cool if we could be like, we saw them that one time.
And maybe that happened because the band that showed up, we wound up knowing the drummer. Which is hilarious. It's like, yeah, we are very familiar with a high schooler named Miles because every year at Dragon Con for the past like 5 or 6 years, he has been competing in the Star Wars trivia contest. So we have a picture with him from several Dragon Cons ago. I think 2018 was when he got like second or third place.
Mm-hmm.
It was like me and him and Thomas Harper from the Schmodown up there, the final three. And I've always just been impressed with his Star Wars knowledge. But he just like showed up out of the blue and we were like, Miles, what are you doing here? And he was like, what are you doing here?
I mean, I already feel old a lot of the times, but that especially made me feel kind of old, but made me feel proud also.
Yeah.
And it was funny to hear his dad say that a lot of the drive and ambition that he used to have for Star Wars trivia, he now puts into the band. And I was like, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta level yourself out. You know, you don't want to get out of balance with anything, including Star Wars.
Right.
So, exploring different things as a high schooler. I mean, in my high school days, I got far more into Lord of the Rings than I was into Star Wars, I think.
Yeah.
I still was loving going to see Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith, but 2001 to 2003 was all about Lord of the Rings for me. But now I'm an adult, so I'm back into Star Wars cartoons, like The Bad Batch.
We went full circle.
Uh-huh. Since The Bad Batch just ended, we figured we would take all of the major questions that people are asking, took them off our Patreon, and the one that I saw the most off of there was, will we see Mount Tantus again?
No.
No?
No, why?
It was, because. It was, what do you mean, why?
It was shuttered.
That shuttered, not destroyed.
I mean...
Right off the bat, we are on opposite sides of this heated argument.
So, do you think we're going to see it again because of Project Necromancer still being a mentioned thing in Mandalorian?
Maybe, or just the very fact that it has ties to the original Thrawn trilogy. Maybe not. Maybe they just wanted to have like a secret Imperial installation, and so they were like, what's something that we can use that was pre-existing that would be fun? Mount Tantus, okay, and we'll tie it into like cloning and stuff, which it did have ties to that in Legends. But since it's so heavily connected to Thrawn, I'm like, yeah, I think that there's a big chance.
See, I think the opposite, because if Filoni wanted to involve Mount Tantus in his plan for Thrawn, he wouldn't have let the Bad Batch have it.
Why? Why wouldn't he let them build it up first? Like, let's see it when it was around, and then we get to see their ruins later on.
Because they destroyed the facilities there. It's all gone.
No, they shuttered them.
Well, a bunch of bombs went off and a Zilla beast crawled through there, so...
I'm not saying it's going to look good the next time we see it. Thrawn will walk in and be like, this is filthy. Yeah, but
I don't know.
There are so many things that could be in there. It might not be connected. He might not have interest for Project Necromancer, but he might want to look at their cloning facilities for his own purposes.
I just don't think he would want Hemlock's sloppy seconds.
Maybe. Well, you know, Thrawn never met Hemlock, so he might not have an opinion on the man.
Well, maybe Tarkin had some things to say.
That's, yeah, highly probable. Yeah. He'd be like, never visit Mount Tantus. But Thrawn, that might
drive... It was a total failure.
Thrawn's curiosity. I don't know. The fact that Tarkin did say, shutter this facility. He didn't say, like, let's bomb it from orbit
tear
the same
it down.
Way. Yeah. He didn't say, like, let's destroy everything. Just shutter it. Which is interesting wording.
Yeah.
So... But I'm a sucker for revisiting places and ruins and stuff.
Mm.
So I think it would be super neat for Tantus to come back. And I could see Filoni wanting to plant those seeds in the Bad Batch, knowing, like, here's what I'm going to build towards in the movie. So let's play around with that in animation back during the Empire's heyday.
I guess for me, I could see Filoni being more interested in tying in the Zillow Beast, like live action Zillow Beast, than actually going back and using Mount Tantus again.
If we were to go to Mount Tantus, I absolutely think that maybe not like a big prominent feature, but if they just see it off in the distance, like that would be a fun little Easter egg.
Mm-hmm.
We'll never get rid of the Zillow Beast.
No, like you said, it's the new apex predator on that planet.
Yeah, it probably is going to ecologically destroy Wayland.
So another reason why I think Thrawn, if Thrawn knows that there's a Zillow Beast on that planet, he might say, you know what? A pass.
He's going to show up, walk in. It'll be that Simpsons gif where he's like, ah, yes, Mount Tantus. And he'll take his hat off and be like, never mind. Put it back on and leave. Sticking with Mount Tantus a little bit, people are asking still, what was in the tanks? What was in the spooky Sith room?
What's in the box?
I mean, I was definitely someone that every single time they were like, we're going to the vault and they're going through the laser gates. And I was like, ooh, we're going to go back to that spooky room. And then they kept going back to the nursery. And I was like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I think it was just a bunch of failed Palpatine clones that looked real gnarly.
Yeah, I wonder if they were failed or what. Yeah, what did they look like?
Or maybe they did look like him, but they didn't have the Force. Like, they couldn't make that M-count transfer work.
Which I think they would consider a failed clone. But yeah, I think that the most likely answer is just Palpatine. Mm-hmm. I mean... We don't know for sure what Project Necromancer is. We don't know for sure what was in those tanks, but, like, you can connect the dots.
Yeah.
Like, I think they've given us enough info that we can just be like, yeah, it's Palpatine.
Yeah. I think it's almost better and definitely creepier that we never got to see what was in there. But we know what Project Necromancer is. We know where it leads. So... I'm okay that we didn't see it.
I am too.
I've accepted it.
I would have loved to see it. Like, I just wanted them to turn that camera around back in episode 3, mm-hmm. just to see it. They can let us use our imaginations. We can let that run wild. And
right.
Like you said, it's a little creepier not knowing what they looked like. And yeah, no one really wants to, like, if they did show us, we'd be like, why?
Yeah, like...
Wrinkly Palpatine in a diaper, that, like...
that might scar the children watching The Bad Batch. We don't want to do that.
Yeah, you just can't please Star Wars fans. We're like, show us, and then they show us, and we're like, ugh!
You know it's only the adults and the hardcore fans yeah. like us being like, I want to see that wrinkly old man submerged in water.
There are people also wondering, like... Would it be Snoke? Could it be Dathan from the Shadow of the Sith book? And I think at this point, those ideas, those creations are not what the Empire is going for. It sounds like Dathan we know was born much later. He was cloned much later. And Snoke, I think, was also a creation of like, Project Necromancer isn't working and we're just trying different things. And so like... Oh, we made this wrinkly man.
How about this?
How about this one? And he's very tall.
And he's got weird big hands.
Palpatine's like, I can use this.
But he's got a great sense of fashion.
Yeah. What if we put him in a shiny robe?
Ooh.
I liked this next one. Was that our first chronological Star Destroyer, Imperial class Star Destroyer that we've seen so far? Definitely on screen. And I think it's likely that that was... one of the first.
Mm-hmm.
Tarkin had a handful of Star Destroyers. I'm going to assume that was the Executrix, which I think the book Tarkin or somewhere said it was one of the first Imperial class Star Destroyers. So yeah. It makes sense that Tarkin would get one of the first.
I love that name.
The Executrix.
Yeah. It sounds like a drag name a little bit.
That's Tarkin's drag name.
Yeah. Oh. I have so many ideas. I can't really think of any other like on-screen portrayals of a Imperial Star Destroyer that early on.
The only thought that I had was off-screen is that I'm pretty sure the Ahsoka novel, which takes place a year after Revenge of the Sith and everything, I do believe TIE Fighters and Star Destroyers appeared then. So it all just kind of depends on where we are in the timeline for the Bad Batch.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably been at least a year. It's one of those Star Wars things where like you look at all of the Mandalorian and the Book of Boba Fett and the Star Wars timelines book says that's all taken place in the same year. And you're like, okay. And you know, the Clone Wars, all of that takes place in 3 years. And really like, again, the timelines book has most of the Clone Wars taking place in the first year.
Mm-hmm.
It's very strange, but that's Star Wars.
Yeah, I have a theory that they're purposefully not putting hard dates on a lot of newer stuff coming out because they want to have that wiggle room.
Yeah, I absolutely think you're right.
So it's a little frustrating for people like us, but I get it.
Yeah. You
know, they want to be able to work around that later if they can.
There will be inevitably a second edition of Star Wars timelines, and then they're probably gonna take a look at what's come out in the past 5 years. I don't know how often they're gonna update it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll try to nail some stuff down, but even then I think they're gonna be flexible.
Yeah. I do just wish maybe someday we can get an answer so that in future canon timelines on Star Wars Explained we can put Omega joined to the rebellion in this year. Like, I think that would be really satisfying.
We'll come back to that.
Okay.
Next up, do we think it's realistic that everyone survived the attack on Mount Tantus?
Yes.
That's the first thought I had was that in this universe where a giant Godzilla-esque kaiju breaks out of a mountain stronghold and runs amok, and there's force babies and all kinds of things. Like, Star Wars is never about realism. It's about the story first and foremost.
Yeah.
I get what the question is saying is mm-hmm. like, I think what the question really means is, were the stakes high enough? And I think they were, because I was hoping they'd all come out alive. But I was worried for Wrecker the whole time. I was worried for Crosshair, especially after he got his hand cut off. So I think the loss of Tech in season two put me in a mindset where I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. they might not all make it out. I hope they do, but they might not.
Yeah, and I think that was absolutely done on purpose. I think they did that so that we would be worried for all of these characters for the whole last season. And yeah, like, I don't think I've ever had so many heart-pounding moments for a Star Wars season finale. Like, I was just so scared that we were going to lose some of our main characters.
Not to mention all of our main characters going in, Hemlock did not want to kill them. So that adds to their survival.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the CX trooper could have killed Crosshair and just cut his hand off. All of the Bad Batch could have died, or at least Hunter, Wrecker, and Crosshair. But Hemlock clearly wanted them because he thought he could control them.
Yeah.
Just like the Zillow Beast.
Sure.
He thinks he can contain them. So I think that level of, they all literally did have kind of plot armor.
Mm-hmm.
Even Omega. She's like, you can't kill me, Hemlock. Sure. I know you can't because you need me as a bargaining chip.
I loved that moment so much.
I'm going to stab you in the leg.
As far as realism goes, I did really love Jennifer Landa over on Force Interpod mentioned that she was really glad that the baby cried, because that's realistic. You have babies show up and things and they're just like totally quiet and content the whole time, but not Baylan. Is that his name?
Baron. I totally agreed. I love that he started to whimper. Like, the second they just put him on Jax's back, I was like, oh, that's going to be scary for him. Mm-hmm. Like, those pneumatic tubes and stuff scared me.
Yeah.
When they were whizzing by Omega. And so, yeah, he was fussy. He didn't really seem bothered by that, but he got fussy mm-hmm. and started to cry.
Which then led to a great comedic moment when he falls asleep, when the Zillow Beast is rampaging through Mount Tantus, and then the kid's like...
Jax is just like, really, this?
This puts him to sleep.
Baron's the best.
Yeah.
Hopefully we see Baron again, all grown up.
Oh, I would love that if we see Omega again, which I hope we will. I'm sure we'll come back to that. We got to see Baron too.
Yeah. After their escape from Tantus, they go back to Pabu, and a lot of people have the question, how is Pabu still a safe place, especially after the Empire discovered it? But it seems like they lived there for several years without incident.
Now that Hemlock's dead, I don't know that there's anyone still alive that really cares to keep looking into Pabu.
That's kind of the train of thought I had, is that I wonder if the Empire at large even knows about Pabu.
Probably like, not.
That, my current headcanon is that that all fell under Hemlock and his agents.
Mm.
And, I mean, yeah, an entire Star Destroyer was there, a lot of TK troopers, but if they all worked under Hemlock and they all went back to Tantus and then they all got eaten by the Zillow Beast, then there's no one left that knows about Pabu. I could just see Hemlock keeping everything really close to his chest and like not wanting anything about Omega to get out because he was so intent on using her.
Right.
And, you know, if she escaped again, then he'd be like, okay, well, I'll go check Pabu. And thankfully, like, Tarkin doesn't know to go look there.
Yeah. Well, and two, if there's any, like, notes or files on what went down there, it's very much typical of the Empire to see, like, if everything Hemlock did was a failure, let's just toss that aside and never look at it again, because we don't have failures in the Empire.
I mean, yeah, that'd be interesting too, is that if Tarkin shows up and he's just like, shutter this place. I don't think he said anything about, he just asked if the data was recoverable. Maybe that thing, that cylinder that came out of the ground that Nala Se blew up, maybe that had all their information there. And like, maybe it wasn't meant to be some secret they were keeping about Pabu, but it's gone now.
Yeah.
And so that's basically my overarching thing, is that Hemlock knew about it. He didn't tell anyone else about it. And now it's safe again.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
Do you think it could be part of the hidden path in future stories because of its secrecy?
Could be. I mean, we know Ventress knows her little landing platform in the secret cave that's not so secret. So there certainly could have been times where she went back to Pabu, assuming she works with Quinlan, who works with the path. Yeah, there could have been some connections there.
I do kind of like that idea because, you know, there's speculation about the hidden path being a potential story, a future animated series or live action, or I don't know. It just seems like a lot of stories are dealing with that. So if we did a hidden path series, then it's an easy way for the Bad Batch to come back up. There have already been four sensitive kids there, mm-hmm. and it sounds like they're going to get them back to their homes. So it would be a nice... What's frustrating is that it sounds like a great end point for the path, but for Star Wars Jedi Survivor, that game is all about trying to find a good end point for the path. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to guess that they don't know about Pabu, yeah. which is a little frustrating to be like, there's this great planet where you can party and just sit and like eat sushi and no one knows about it. And poor Cal is fighting for his life to get to Tantalor, which doesn't even look that great compared to Pabu.
Sure. Maybe, you know, maybe the path knows about Pabu, also knows that it is kind of been claimed as the safe haven for clones, and they're like, let's let them have that and we'll go find something else.
It's also, you know, the more force sensitive people that are there, the bigger target
right.
it would put on. And if a bunch of clones are already there,
Pabu's like, we've had enough, we're closed for business.
And maybe the people who are all about the path, they might have heard that the Empire was there once, and so they're like, I don't know, because they probably risky. Don't know that, you know, Hemlock, those secrets died with him, potentially.
Yeah.
Molly already alluded to this one, but now we got to talk about when we think the epilogue took place. Omega joining the rebellion.
I am not good at guesstimating years in Star Wars, so I'll let you take the lead on this one.
I think that you have already basically provided the answer that I don't think we're meant to know yet. I think they want it to be flexible. The most telling thing to me is Omega saying that the rebellion needs pilots. And to me, that was a rebellion with a capital R, like Rebel Alliance.
Right. So Hera needs me.
Yeah. So she didn't say that, but that's our current headcanon, that she's like, hey, me and Hera are friends. I'm going to go hang out with her.
Yeah. We all know that that's what happened.
Yeah. So if it is rebellion with a capital R, it does make me think it's probably a little after the Battle of Yavin.
Mm.
I don't think that she aged 20 years.
Nah.
Her character model didn't look that much older. So, but again, that's just a flexibility issue. I mean, Bo-Katan aged great in between the Clone Wars sure. and the Mandalorian. So it can just be one of those things where Omega has a great skincare routine. Pabu's son doesn't cause any skin damage.
Yeah.
So,
sure.
Yeah, I'm going to guess it's around the time of A New Hope. Well, where do we think we're going to see Omega next?
Somewhere, I hope. I've seen a lot of people talking about Andor season 2, which would be crazy, but fun.
That would be getting, you know, we're going to build up to the battles of Scarif and Yavin. So maybe in like that last arc, I will be surprised if that happens. I'm going to be really interested to see how Tony Gilroy handles Andor season 2, just because he seems like someone who wants to make his own characters, like Luthen Rael and Cyril Karn. And I wonder how much he's going to connect with other stuff, which is going to get easier and easier the closer we get to A New Hope and Rogue One.
Sure.
So he might be on the lookout for like, okay, Pablo Hidalgo, let me know who would be fun to include here.
Yeah.
And Pablo can give him a list and like a breakdown of who everyone is. And he's like, this Omega person sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm. We keep mentioning Hera too. Like, she could pop up in Ahsoka season 2. I don't really know how, but if she has a connection to Hera, that's a possibility.
Yeah. I'm not really expecting a big live action appearance right away.
Yeah.
If it happens, I'll be like excited and thrilled. But I think honestly, the next time we see her, I'm expecting like an all ages comic or something where she's still a kid.
Sure. Something like The Adventures of Omega would be really, really fun to read.
I don't know if they're going to do more hyperspace stories the way they have in the past, where it's just like each issue is just a standalone adventure about someone. And they did do a Bad Batch issue in hyperspace stories, but something like that where it's like Omega, it could be the story of Omega and Hunter and crew taking Baron home. Like something like that seems more likely for our very next Omega appearance for me.
She could be in a video game. She could be in the next.
She could be anywhere.
Star Wars Jedi game in the third installment.
That's true. Especially if Pabu does wind up connected to the Hidden Path at all. And Survivor is already connected to the path. So maybe.
That would be really cool.
She could be anywhere.
If she teamed up with Cal and Marin to do anything, I would be down for that.
But what about the other clones? What do you think happened to Commander Cody? A lot of people very concerned with Cody after his one appearance back in season 2.
I think he went and stayed with Cut LaQuane.
Yeah, he's just going chilling.
He is retired.
He's now Uncle Cody. Yeah, wherever they wound up. You know, I saw some people asking, like, why didn't they follow up with what happened to him? And, like, people, I think, had it in their mind that he could be CX2 or one of the Clone X troopers. Mm. And I'm like, they told you at the end of season 2 that he went AWOL. Like, he abandoned his post. Rampart said that. Mm-hmm. And I just do not see. I've been saying it and saying it since that episode. I don't think Rampart would have lied to Crosshair about that. If he wanted to be mean and, like, he could have told the truth if Cody had actually been captured and he was sent to Tantus to be experimented on, I think he would have told Crosshair, your friend Cody tried to escape and we got him.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of rolling his eyes and being like, oh, your friend Cody left and defected and deserted.
Yeah, I think it's easy for, you know, fans who are really big fans of the clones to see, okay, Rex was in this. Where's Cody? Like, it's just like the natural next step for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But I never once thought that they were going to bring Cody into this show.
I was so psyched that he was in the trailer for season 2. I was like, great. I was definitely wanting to see him. I wanted to see Wolf. Like, I did overall in this series want to see more of the Regs that we knew and loved. But Cody's episode is one of the best of the series.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with that. And his story helped move Crosshairs along.
Mm-hmm.
I always took Rampart at his word that Cody left. And like, okay, he didn't wind up with Rex, at least not right away. So I just figured he was out and about. And then, you know, the CX clone thing happened and everyone was theorizing who's under there. And I was just like, until they give us a reason to think it's not just another Reg, like, everyone just chill.
Just chill out. Yeah. We joked about this on our live stream, but this is going to be the new where is Barriss question for Dave Filoni. Like, where is Commander Cody? And he'll say, you know, I got plans.
I have plans for Cody.
But, you know, he could pop up in a POV book sometime in the future. That would be neat to just have a short story about him and where he ended up.
I definitely have questions about Cody. You know, why wasn't he in Rex's group? Where did he go? I would love to know his continued fate. But as far as the show goes, I'm like, they told us what happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been fun if he were, you know, we were all theorizing that the cavalry would be a big group of clones coming to help them at Tantus. And that didn't happen. It went a completely different direction that I still enjoyed. I would have liked to see Rex, and we'll talk about him in a second. But
maybe if this show got 22 episodes, we would have gotten a Cody story. But maybe they just didn't have time to fit him in.
Mm-hmm. There are like these little breadcrumbs where it would have been fun to see Cody again. I was hoping Wolf would come back into play. Gregor kept on, he was just like on the fringes the whole time in like three total episodes. And even then, wasn't around all that much. So there's more that I wouldn't have minded seeing, but the focus was more on the Bad Batch specifically. But yeah, let's talk about Rex. And someone asked, why did he stop fighting? Because we do jump from, as far as we know, he's still got his clone network. And then we get into the future and he's hanging out on Seelos with Wolf and Gregor fishing. So is there a reason that he stopped fighting, do you think?
I mean, they were aging fairly quickly and the Empire is just getting bigger and bigger and more of a problem. And maybe he was just like, you know what? I'm over this.
I mean,
for now. I'm over it right for now.
And he gets pulled back into the fight pretty easily.
Right.
I think that Omega's epilogue actually kind of addresses this, where it seems like they've all lived peacefully on Pabu for several years. I'm sure they had adventures off and on. I bet they help Rex and company do whatever they do, but maybe they all just chill out after the Tantus stuff. We got the clones out of there. We're doing as much as we can with Senator Chuchi to fight for clone rights, but that's not going to go very far in the Empire.
Right.
So I think that they were just like, Hunter says, we've fought enough battles for a lifetime. It's time for us to choose whatever we want to do.
Yeah.
And Rex chose to hang out and go fishing and live peacefully.
Yeah, that's a big theme of the Bad Batch, is like choosing your own identity. And when given the choice of, okay, you could just do anything now, what do you want to do? Like, that's a pretty overwhelming thing to think about. So maybe after everything they've been through, Rex and Wolf and Gregor are just like, let's go out on our own and just be cranky old men and go fish for a while.
And Omega has that line that, like, you fought your battles, but this one is my generation's, and she wants to go help the rebellion. And then, you know, Rex and Wolf and Gregor all decide to come join that fight as well. And maybe the Bad Batch does too. We just don't know right now. We haven't seen them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that they were just choosing to live peacefully, as is their right. Go hang out. Also, like, Wolf, we don't know his full story, but he seemed kind of messed up. Like, it's funny that Gregor's there, and Wolf is really the more affected one, I think.
Yeah.
Suffering from PTSD. So maybe Rex was just trying to give his friend some peace.
Yeah. Aw. It's like if you think about old war buddies who are retired now, maybe they rent an RV and go cross country for a couple years and just do whatever they want.
It is kind of funny that they decided to hang out on Seelos instead of Pabu. Like, they knew that was there. You can fish on Pabu too.
Yeah.
But they're like, nah, we want to hunt Jupas.
Maybe that's something they've always wanted to do.
Maybe they live on Pabu, but they went to Seelos for like a little vacation, and that's where Ahsoka found them.
Yeah.
And we did already talk about this a little bit, but for one last time, for old time's sake, what happened to the Zillow Beast? Where did it go?
Talk about someone who's retired and can choose their own identity and do whatever and be whatever they want.
Let's getting out of this mountain. I'm going into those woods. I'm going to go to sleep.
The poor Zillow Beast. It's free now. And we don't know what other kind of predators are on Mount Tantus. But I think it's just living peacefully on Mount Tantus. It pulled a Smaug. And now it's like living in one of those mountains. Collecting gold.
You mentioned that in our live stream. And I really like that. Because, yeah, there is another mountain base. So maybe it took over that one. Yeah, and it's just hoarding. I doubt there's gold on Wayland, but it's hoarding something.
Yeah.
And just hanging out.
It's been through a lot. So whatever it's doing, I just want it to be at peace.
we know that the one on Malastair from the Clone Wars was, I guess, hibernating underground for who knows how long.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just like, I'm going to take the best, longest nap.
Yeah.
I'll see you in 1,000 years.
Yeah. If we ever go back and revisit Wayland, maybe we'll see him again. But I think for now it's safe to say that the Zillow Beast is done.
Yeah. And I also am grateful that they brought it back, because there isn't a dangling plot thread in my mind now
of
what happened, because they definitely set up like, okay, we're going to clone this Zillow Beast.
Yeah.
And then we never saw it again for years and years and years.
That's something interesting that I think a lot of Star Wars fans struggle with, is accepting the end of something's story. If it's if it ends on sort of a hopeful, peaceful note, just let that be the end.
Yeah.
Leave it alone.
I think you're right. Star Wars fans, including myself, it's like, I kind of want to know their entire life story up until they die. And even then, we're like, but are they really dead?
But Star Wars can bring them back if they want.
Yeah, so it is a struggle to accept when something has ended. And this Zillow Beast, I think, gets to walk off into the sunset / moonlight.
Yeah.
And just be at peace for a while.
Sure. We don't know how many suns or moons Wayland has, but yeah, that.
That's all the time we have for questions today. If you want to leave a question for next week's video, just put it in the comments below, or sign up for Patreon to join our weekly Q&A discussion. And I'll send out one last reminder to go watch The Complete Canon Timeline if you haven't already. Please like this video, subscribe to the channel.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and Blue Sky.
And as always, thanks for watching, and may the Force be with you.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.